Last week we finished speaking about Matovu. What I'd like to speak about this week is the Arizal says that before a person begins to daven, a person should say, "Hareini mekabel olai, mitzvos asei shel v'ahavta l'reacha kamoicha." Person should say, I accept upon myself the commandment of V'yahavta l'reacha kamoicha, which means love your fellow like yourself. Now, the simple understanding of the Arizal is that when a person davens to Hashem and a person asks Hashem for certain things, whatever a person is davening for, the person is placed in judgment. Is the person worthy of their request being fulfilled or not? However, if the person includes himself in Klal Yisrael, and their tefillah ascends as part of Klal Yisrael's tefillah, so then the person is not placed in judgment. He's not coming by himself asking for a personal request. It's a request that ascends together with the tefillahs of Klal Yisrael. Therefore, says Arizal, a person should accept upon themselves the mitzvahs asay, the positive commandment of V'yahavta l'reacha kamoicha, because it is only when the person is included in Klal Yisrael, fulfilling the mitzvah V'yahavta l'reacha kamoicha, only then do his tefillahs ascend together with the tefillahs of Klal Yisrael. But I'd like to offer another explanation as to why a person is supposed to accept upon themselves the mitzvah asay of Yahavta l'reacha kamoicha before beginning to daven. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says, "Asay ritzoinoi kiritzoinecha." Which means, make Hashem's will like your will, in order that Hashem should make your will like His will. A simple understanding is, make Hashem's will as important to you as your own will, and then Hashem will make your will as important to Him as His will. That's what it says in Pirkei Avos. Then it says, "Batel." Immediately afterwards, it says in Pirkei Avos, "Batel ritzoncha b'nei ritzonai." Nullify your will to His will. So these two members seem to contradict each other. First, it says, "Make His will like your will," meaning make your will and His will. His will and your will should be equal. And then immediately afterwards, it says, and nullify your will to His will, which means make His will above your will. So I think we can understand what Chazal are telling us here, based on a vort I once said on the mitzvah of Machzis HaShekel. Parshas Kisisa, the beginning of Parshas Kisisa, Hashem commands Moshe to command Bnei Yisrael that each one of them should give a machzis shekel, a half shekel. Why all the Mefarshim talk about why specifically a half shekel, not a whole shekel. So I suggested the following. The letter Shin, the way the letter Shin is written in the Torah, it's the letter Shin is written as three vavs. There's a right vav, middle vav, and a left vav. On the bottom, they all come together. But it's made up of three vavs. Zohar HaKadosh talks about these vavs, the three vavs of the Shin, what they represent. And I'd like to suggest that the three vavs of the Shin represent three, there are three letters in the Aleph Beis that are made up of a Chaf and a Vav. Now first, before we go into which letters they are, we have to understand that the relevance of the Chavav is that it's Chavav is 26, which is the Gematria of Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is Gematria of Hashem's name. So Chavav represents Hashem's name. Three letters in the Aleph Beis are written by Chavav. That is Alamed. Alamed is written with a Chav, and then a Vav is attached to the top of it. A Mem is a Chav, and a Vav right next to it. And the third is a Kuf. A Kuf is a Chav and a Vav descending from the bottom of it. So we have the Lamed, the Mem, and the Kuf are three letters that are made up of Chav and a Vav. Now what does this represent? Vav, the letter Vav, represents connection. Vav is a chibur. It's a letter of connection. Whatever you want to say in Lashon Kodesh, you want to say, you want to put two words together, this and this would be zeh vozeh, right? You want to put the vav connects them. So the vav represents connection to the Rabbeinu Shalom. The chaf represents the yid, represents a Jew. The pasuk tells us, "V'halachta b'drachav," right? We're supposed to walk in Hashem's ways. And Chazal explained, "Ma'hu rachum, afato rachum," just like He's compassionate, we're also supposed to become compassionate. "Ma'hu gaim l'chasadim, afato gaim l'chasadim," just like He does acts of loving kindness, we should do acts of loving kindness. We are commanded as Jews to emulate the Rabbeinu Shalom. To be like Him. The letter in the Aleph Beis that represents comparing ourselves to be like someone is letter Chav. Right? Chav is a Chav HaDimyon. It's supposed to be Zeh, right? Ke, to be like so-and-so is to be Ke, Zeh, Kazeh. This is like this. So the letter Chav represents the Jew who is obligated to emulate the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's what the Chaf is. So the Vav represents the connection of the Jew to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Now, there are different levels of one's Avodah. There are those that make the Rabbeinu Shalom a priority to themselves. Meaning, if they're ever faced with a challenge as to what is more important, is the Rabbeinu Shalom more important or am I more important? Right, a person places the Rabbeinu Shalom before themselves. That is obviously the greatest level that exists. And that is represented by the Lamed. Right, the Chaf is on the bottom, and the Vav, which represents our connection to the Rabbeinu Shalom, that's on top. That's given first priority. Then, there is the person who has not made the Rabbeinu Shalom a greater priority than themselves, but at least has made the Rabbeinu Shalom an equal priority to themselves. They don't place themselves above the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Rabbeinu Shalom is an equal priority. And that's represented by the letter Mem, where the Chaf and the Vav are written right next to each other. And then there's the person who places themselves first, and that is represented by the letter Kuf, or the chaf is above the vav. The vav is below the vav is below the chaf in the letter kuf. Now you'll realize that in these three letters, in the lamed and the mem, the chaf and the vav are connected. In the kuf, the chaf and the vav are not connected. And that's because when a person places themselves before the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, they're not connected. It's either Aseir Tzaynai Kir Tzaynecha, at least make his will like your will, equal to your will. That is an acceptable service to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Or Batel Tzaynecha Bnei Tzaynecha, which is a higher level. Nullify your will to his will, which means make his will above your will. That is definitely an acceptable service. That's a preferable service. And then a person is also connected to Hashem. So that's represented by the letter Lamed. But when a person places himself before Hashem, that's represented by the letter Kuf, and that is why the Vav is not connected to the Chav. So the avodah v'yid, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam knows how difficult the Yetzer Hara has given us, and the Rebbeinu Shel Olam doesn't ask of us to make his will priority to our will. All he asks of us is Aseir Tzaynai Kir Tzaynecha. Make my will at least equal to your will. If a yid works, which a yid by nature, a person, a human being by nature, always places themselves before anyone else. That's just a human being by nature. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam asks of us, Aseir Tzaynai Kir Tzaynecha. Make my will equal to your will. If a yid works on making the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's will equal to his will, then the Rebbeinu Shel Olam will assist a person to make the Rebbeinu Shel Olam even a greater priority. So it starts out with Aseir Tzaynai Kir Tzaynecha. It starts out with make Hashem's will equal to your will, which is make yourself into a mem, at least. And when a person makes themselves into a mem, then the Rebbeinu Shel Olam assists the person to make himself into a lamed by making the Rebbeinu Shel Olam a first priority. So basically the Rebbeinu Shel Olam asks a person to meet him halfway. Meet me halfway. Every person, a human being, is born a kuf. That's what we're a kuf. That's what we are. We place ourselves first. If you make yourself into a mem, I'll make you into a lamed. I believe this is represented in the pasuk in Parshas Ekev. It says in the pasuk, "Umal Hashem lekecha es levavcha." Hashem will circumcise your heart. We have another pasuk that seems to contradict this. It says, "Umaltem es orla es levavchem." You shall circumcise the orla of your heart. So, are we doing it, or is Hashem doing it? The answer is, we need to meet him halfway. We need to circumcise our hearts to the point that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is an equal priority to ourselves. And then the Rebbeinu Shel Olam will assist us in taking us the extra level and making him that we should be able to make the Rebbeinu Shel Olam a greater priority to ourselves. And that's why it's specifically written in the Lashon, Umal Hashem Lekecha. Umal is Mem Lamed. Right? You make me into a Mem. You make yourself into a mem, I'll make you into a lamed. The umaltem as aras levavchem is upon us to make Hashem equal to ourselves. Umal Hashem lekechas levavcha, then Hashem will make that mem into a lamed, and help us make him a greater priority. And this, I believe, is represented by the machzis hashekel. The shekel, again, is the shin that represents the three vavs. The vav of the lamed, the mem, and the kuf. And then the next two letters are kuf lamed, right? Which are what we're supposed to do in our life is to bring us, to make ourselves from a kuf into a lamed. But the Rebbeinu Shlomo doesn't expect us to do the whole shekel. He asks us to do machzis ha-shekel. He asks us to meet him halfway, right? To make ourselves into a mem, and then the Rebbeinu Shlomo will take us from there and make us into a lamed. According to this, we can understand another Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Mishnah says, "Havikal kaneshar la'asas ritzayin avicha shvashemayim." You should, a person should be light as an eagle. Light as an eagle. To, that's what aneshar means. To fulfill the will of your Father in heaven. There's a very interesting Rashi in Parshas Yisrael. The Pasuk says, "V'esa eschem al kampei nisharim, v'avi eschem elai." Hashem says, "I will lift you upon the wings of eagles and bring you to me." Says Rashi there, "I have lifted you on the side." The pasuk says, Rashi learns that it means, "I have lifted you on the wings of eagles and brought you to me." So Rashi says that this pasuk is talking about the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, where the Egyptians were standing behind the Jewish people, and they were shooting arrows at them. So the pasuk says that the anan, the cloud of Hashem's glory, went in between the Egyptian camp and the camp of Bnei Yisrael, and when the Egyptians would throw arrows, it would go into the cloud. And Rashi says that this is similar to an eagle. An eagle, a nesher, says Rashi, flies the highest out of all birds. All birds carry their offspring in their claws, because they're all concerned that the eagle, if they carry their offspring on their wings, then the eagle will droop down, because the eagle flies higher than them, and it will grab their offspring from upon their eagles. So they all carry their offspring in their claws. The eagle, however, doesn't need to carry the offspring in the claws, because it can carry the offspring on its wings, because no one flies higher than the eagle. Only thing the eagle needs to be concerned about by carrying the offspring in its claws is that someone might shoot an arrow from below. If somebody shoots an arrow from below, the eagle does not want its offspring to be hit. He puts the offspring on its wings, and the nesher says, "Mutav shiyikonis achetz bi v'lo yikonis bebanai." I'd rather that the arrow goes into me than it goes into my children. That's why the eagle carries its offspring on its wings. Says Rashi, similarly, the Rebbeinu Shloimeh, which was present by that cloud, put itself in harm's way. And so all the arrows that were being sent from the Egyptians went into the cloud. Hashem said, "Mutav shiyikonis achetz bi v'lo yikonis bebanai." I'd rather that the arrow goes into me, it shouldn't go into my children. So we find the interesting thing here is that what we learn from the eagle is that it makes its offspring a priority over itself. Right? So ordinarily, if the eagle would be its own priority, it would carry its offspring in its claws underneath it. Right? But since that would be similar to the kuf, right? Where it would make itself first priority, its offspring second priority, and it would therefore carry the offspring beneath it. Instead, the nesher makes its offspring first priority over itself, and therefore carries the offspring on its wings, making itself similar to the lamed, making the offspring a greater priority to itself. So the Nesher observes the Kuf Lamed. It takes the Kuf and makes it into a Lamed. So Chazal tells us, have a Kal Kanesher. You should be Kal, you should be Kuf Lamed, like the Nesher does. That's what a Yid needs to do. To take oneself, which by nature we are our own, priority, our own first priority, and we have to change that into a Lamed and making the Rebbeinu Shleilam our first priority. We now understand that the power of evil in the world that obviously counters this is the power is Amalek. Amalek is Am Lamed Kuf. The Amalek is the nation that wants us to take the Lamed and make it into a Kuf and make ourselves first priority over the Rebbeinu Shleilam. So, the Chazal tell us here in Pirkei Avos that if we do Aseh Ritzonah Kiritzonecha, that if we do what we are supposed to do, which is at least make ourselves into a mem, right? Aseh Ritzonah Kiritzonecha, make the Rebbeinu Shleilam's will equal to your will, then He will make your will equal to His will. Rashi says in the Gemara, famous Gemara that when, I believe it's in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph, I believe, that when a non-Jew came to Hillel and said, convert me while I'm standing on one foot. Teach me the entire Torah while I'm standing on one foot. Gairani Avanaz, right. Convert me on the condition that you can teach me the entire Torah while I'm standing on one foot. That's what he said. So Hillel answered, Madalach san al chavrak lasavit. What is something that you don't like, don't do to someone else. That's the entire Torah. The rest is commentary. Go learn. So Rashi explains that this is a reference to the mitzvah of Yahavta L'Reacha Kamaicha. Hillel told him that Yahavta L'Reacha Kamaicha, love your fellow like yourself. Don't do to someone else what you wouldn't be done to you. That is the Kol Gadol Torah. And Rashi explains that L'Reacha means Hashem. Yahavta L'Reacha Kamaicha means Hashem, as it says in the pasuk, Re'acha v'rei avicha al ta'azayv, your friend and the friend of your father do not desert. So it says in the pasuk, it's a reference to Hashem. And what Hillel was telling him, don't do to Hashem what you wouldn't want done to you. Meaning, just like a person would want his will to be fulfilled, so also one should fulfill Hashem's will. And that is called Torah Kula, which is doing Hashem's will. So, since we're about to approach Tefillah, and Tefillah is about asking Hashem to fulfill our will. Well, the prerequisite for wanting Hashem to fulfill our will is making His will like our will. Then He'll make our will like His will. So, make Hashem's will like your will. The Re'acha Kamaicha, make Hashem's will. Hashem, which is Re'acha V'Re'avicha Atazah, make that like your will. That is the introduction to davening. Now you can start davening and you can hope that Hashem will make your will like His will. In the Sidurim, according to the Rizal, it's printed right before Adon Olam. Sorry, could you just start with the order then? Yeah,
Re'acha
Kamaicha,
then you do
Adonai Lam,
then you do, or when do you do this?
I do it right before
Adonai Lam.
Okay, so you first do Matovu, then you do Harani,
and then you do
Adonai Lam. I don't think it really makes a difference when you say this. Another approach as to why we accept upon ourselves the mitzvah of saying "Hafta d'Reacha Kamecha" before davening. Can be explained by a pasuk in Parshas Vayeshlach Bracha that says, "Vayhi b'shurim melech v'sa'asei b'rosh ha'yam yachad shiftei Yisrael." As Rashi explains the pasuk, that means that when does Hashem dwell among Klal Yisrael? "Vayhi b'shurim melech." When is Hashem melech of Klal Yisrael? "V'sa'asei b'rosh ha'yam yachad shiftei Yisrael." When we all come together as one. We can't begin davening unless Kol Mispal Tzorach Shira the Shechina Kenegdai. A person, when he davens, has to see the Shechina opposite himself. We need Ashras Ashchina before we begin davening. So in order to bring the Shechina into our midst before we begin davening, we have to accept upon ourselves the mitzvah. We have to Racha Kamecha to unite ourselves with Kol Yisrael, because it's only under those circumstances that the Rebbeinu Shleilam, that the Shechina dwells among us. And that's why we find we're in the 3 weeks now that we're mourning the Churban Beis Hamikdash. The Churban Beis Hamikdash was a result of Sinas Chinam. Right? When there is no Achdus, the Shechina departs from us. And there is no Hashras HaShechina, which is represented by the Beis Hamikdash. So it's specifically in these days that we have to be mekabel upon ourselves, v'yahavta l'reacha kamecha, to bring the Shechina back in order that we should be able to daven and speak to the Shechina. Speak to the Rebbeinu Shleilam. Perhaps another approach is the Pasuk in Mishlei. Pasuk in Mishlei says, "Hameisir oznoi mishmoi atoira gam tfilos atoyeva." Somebody who turns his ear away from listening to Torah, such a person's prayers are despised. That's what it says in the Pasuk. So, meaning that, I think this goes along very well with what we spoke about above. Hashem says, if you make my will like your will, then I'll make your will like my will. Meaning, if you listen to Torah, if you observe the Torah, which is my will, then I will make your will my will. Then you have what to daven. If you're not going to listen to Torah, right, if you're not going to listen when I'm talking to you, then I'm not going to listen when you're talking to me. Now, Torah is divided into three areas. There are three parts of three different parts of Torah. One is Ben Adam Lamakim, the mitzvahs that pertain to between the man and the Rebbeinu Shleilam. Then there are mitzvahs that are Ben Adam Lachavera, between man and one's fellow. And then there are, right, Ben Adam Lamakim is Kashmir Shabbos and Kashrus and not to worship Avodah Zarah and Basar B'Chalav, all the majority of the Torah. Then we have Ben Adam Lachaveroi, not to steal. This is all second half of the Aseres HaDibros, not to kill, not to steal, not to cheat. Not to speak Lashon Hara, to give tzedakah, give us chasadim. Those are all Ben Adam L'Chaveira. And then there's Ben Adam L'Atzmai. There are mitzvahs that are between man and themselves. That mainly pertains to Tikkun HaMidos, a person refining their character. That's called Ben Adam L'Atzmai. The Marsha, there's a Gemara in Masechtas Brachos. The Gemara says, "Haiman the boy of the Mevach Chasida, somebody who wants to be a Chasid, Yikayim Mila de Brachos." So the Gemara should observe the halachas of Brachos. And then that's one opinion of the Gemara. The next opinion says, "No, whoever wants to be a Chasid, Yekayim Mila de Nezikin. He should observe the halachas of Nezikin and halachas of damages, not to damage one another. One does damage to pay. And then there's a third opinion that says Yekayim Haman de Boy de Meva Chasida, Yekayim Mila de Avos. Such a person should observe what is written in Pirkei Avos. The Maharsha explains what the machlokes here is between these three opinions. He talks about these three different divisions of Torah, Ben Adam Lamakayim, Ben Adam Lachaveir, Ben Adam Laatzmai. And he says the machlokes here is, what does Chassidus depend on? Is Chassidus depend on Ben Adam Lamakayim? And if that's the case, Yikayim Ilah de Brachas. A person should see to it to observe the halachas of brachas, which are ben adam l'makayim. The second opinion holds, no, chassidus depends on ben adam l'chaveroi. So yikayim mila the nezikin, right? Damages is between man and one's fellow. That's where a person needs to place their emphasis. And the third opinion holds, no, it's ben adam l'atzmai. Therefore, yikayim mila d'avos. Pirkei Avos is all about refining one's character. That's what a person needs to focus on in order to be a chassid. So, if we want our tefillahs to be accepted, and the pasuk says, "Hameser ozna mishmoya toira gam tefillahs ateyev," that if somebody who turns his ear away from Torah, then his tefillahs are despised. So we have to see to it to turn our ear to Torah, not away from Torah, which means in all three areas of Ben Adam L'Makayim, Ben Adam L'Chaverim, Ben Adam L'Atzmai. I believe that in the Pasuk, V'ahavta L'Reyacha Kamoicha, you have all three. V'ahavta, it represents the Pasuk, V'ahavta L'Hashem L'Kecha, Shalom Hashem your God, which is Ben Adam L'Makayim. L'Reyacha is Ben Adam L'Chaverim. And kamaycha, like you, is min adam la'atzmai. It's so those three words, v'ahavta l'reacha kamaycha, encompasses all three areas of min adam la'makayim, min adam la'chaverim, min adam la'atzmai. And when a person does so, then ani Hashem, says the Rebbeinu Shlomo, now I am Hashem, I will listen to your tefillahs. As long as you observe min adam la'makayim, min adam la'chaverim, min adam la'atzmai. Perhaps we can understand, according to this, a pasuk in Parshas Beshalach, where it says the Bnei Yisrael are fighting Amalek. So it says when Moshe Rabbeinu would lift his hands, Amalek would be Bnei Yisrael would be victorious over Amalek. And the Unklus explains what the lifting of the hands, what's the lifting of the hands all about. Uncle says, he yada v'amuna ad boya shamash. And Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were lifted until sunset. V'havo yedoyi prison b'tzloi ad ol shimshe. That was Moshe Rabbeinu davening. Moshe Rabbeinu davened with his hands upward. That's what. So as long as Moshe Rabbeinu was davening, says Unklus, then Israel would be victorious. That's what his outstretched hands meant. So the pasuk says, "V'day Moshe kavedim." Moshe's hands were heavy. V'yikchu even v'yistim u'tachto. So they took a rock. And they put it underneath him. Why do we need to know this? So perhaps Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillahs were dependent on Bnei Yisrael's adherence to Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was davening for them. And as we just said, we just read in Mishlei, right? Somebody who is not willing to listen to Torah, their tefillahs are not accepted. And we said that Torah means all three areas of Torah. Ben Adam, Lamakoim, which is represented by Milah de Brachas. Ben Adam Lachaveda, which is represented by Milah de Nezikin. And Ben Adam Lachaveda, which is represented by Milah de Avos. So, if Yidei Moshe are Kaveda, meaning his hands were heavy, meaning he felt his tefillos were not being accepted. So he had an Evan brought. Evan is an acronym for Avos, Brachas, Nezikin. It represents these three areas of Ben Adam La'atzmai, Ben Adam La'mokai, Ben Adam La'mokai, Ben Adam La'chaveda, Ben Adam La'atzmai, Vayasimu Tachtov, and then Moshe Rabbeinu was able to lift his hands with tefillah until Advoy HaShamash and Bnei Yisrael were victorious because Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillahs were accepted. Svazemes says that V'yahavta, he explains the pasuk V'yahavta l'reacha kamaicha. He asks, Svazemes of Parshas Kedoshim, he asks, the pasuk can't mean you shall love your fellow like yourself. Because where does it say anywhere that you're supposed to love yourself? So, Svazemes says, so the pasuk has to mean differently. There's a pasuk V'yahavta Hashem Elokecha. You should love Hashem your God. So that we know, you have a mitzvah to love, that you have to love Hashem your God. Says the pasuk V'yahavta L'Re'acha Kamaicha. You need to put the love of Hashem into your fellow, just like you have an obligation to love Hashem yourself. You also have to instill the love of Hashem into others. V'yahavta L'Re'acha. You need to put the V'yahavta into your chaver, kamoicha, just like you have a chiv for yourself, V'yahavta Hashem lekecha, so we have an obligation to instill Ahavas Hashem into other Yidden. And we do so by conducting ourselves in a manner that brings Kiddushim Shemayim, that causes other Yidden to love Hashem as well. As Chazal say, Yehishem Shemayim is Ahiv al Yadcha. And the name of heaven should be loved through you. If a Yid conducts themselves properly, others say, wow, this is how a servant of Hashem conducts themselves. So, it brings the love of Hashem into other Yidin as well. Yahavta l'reyacha kamoicha. But then the Sfasema says, in a different place, he says even a deeper part than that. He says that the whole purpose of our Avodas Hashem should be to bring Nachas Ruach to the Rebbeinu Shleilu, to bring the Rebbeinu Shleilu pleasure. That's all we should care about. The fact that we are going to get reward for it, or that we are going to be, our character is going to be refined through performing the mitzvahs, that's all secondary. If a person truly loves Hashem, it will be selfless. Their avodah will be totally selfless. It will be, I'm doing this totally for the Rebbeinu Shleilu, without myself. Myself doesn't play a role. If a person reaches that level, then there will be no difference to the person if they are doing the mitzvah or if someone else is doing a mitzvah. The main thing is that the Rebbeinu Shleilu is getting a nachas ruach. What do I care how the Rebbeinu Shleilu is getting a nachas ruach? There is we were learning in Chesh Mishpat. There's a halacha, if a person grabs away a mitzvah from another person. A person has an opportunity to do a mitzvah. Another person comes along and grabs it and does the mitzvah. So there's a penalty for that. He has to pay 10 zehuvim. So there's the Sma over there says that Bez really has to evaluate how much the mitzvah is worth to a person. So if we find that the person that it was taken away from doesn't really care that much about mitzvahs, so Bez shouldn't obligate the person that took it away to pay so much. And if this is... And then there's the example that's given is someone who was going to lead the benching, and someone came along and just started leading the benching before the first person had the opportunity to do so. So if this is a person that really loves mitzvahs, so then you should, then Bezin should make the person that took it away more, pay more. There's a level that is above all of that. And that is, it's not about me doing the mitzvah at all. What do I care if I do the mitzvah, he does the mitzvah? It's not about me. It's about the Ribbono Shel Olam. Who cares who does the mitzvah? Of course, a person has to fulfill their obligations. But when it comes to a voluntary mitzvah, and another yid wants to do the mitzvah, of course, I love bringing an achas ruach to Hashem. But if the main thing is, the Ribbono Shel Olam gets an achas ruach. Says the Sfasemis, that's what v'yahavta l'reacha kamoicha means. Your v'yahavta as Hashem alaykecha should be so strong that l'reacha kamoicha, that there should be no difference if someone else is doing a mitzvah or you're doing a mitzvah. True. Yes. Right. But if another person is going to do the mitzvah properly, then it's not about me. It's all about the Ribbono Shel Olam. So perhaps before we begin davening, we want to exclaim that what we're about to do, which is to daven to the Ribbono Shel Olam, is not about me. It's not selfish. It's selfless. It's about, I'm doing this to bring an achas ruach to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hareini mekabel olai mitzvah zasei shavi. Ahavta l'reacha kamoicha. My ahavas Hashem is going to be so great that l'reacha kamoicha, there's not going to be no difference between me and someone else. The main thing is the Ribbono Shel Olam. May we be zoicha to be evdei Hashem, and ahavei Hashem b'ezras.